Cambridge Breakfast with Julian Clover and Lucy Malazzo.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
Let us introduce you to Julian Huppert. He is the director of the Intellectual Forum at Jesus College. He's also former MP, university lecturer in physics. Recently, he embarked on the Couch to 5K. And on Sunday, he is doubling that up. It sounds like an ITV game show. to compete in the Town and Gown 10K, which is raising money for muscular dystrophy. Thank you very much for coming in and for missing training as well this morning.
Yeah, no, to my surprise, I found that I quite like running when I do run first thing in the morning, which I think if I'd spoken to myself a few years ago, I'd have been shocked to hear me say that. But now, my original plan had been to go for a run this morning, but you persuaded me that I should come and talk
that's
to you instead.
That's a fair, my powers of persuasion are greater than I thought they were. Mind you, given how cold it is outside this morning, that's possibly a little bit easier. And I couldn't recommend you to run through the Mill Road Cemetery, as you'd probably find it locked when you got to the to the other end at the moment. Can we start with a bit of a personal question?
Ooh, okay.
When you were an MP, how much weight did you put on?
I put on a few kilos, but not very much. I think I'd been heavier than I should have been from when I was a student, actually. Mm. Didn't really do anything much about it. And so I probably put on a few kilos while I was an MP. It's a rubbish lifestyle.
I think that's why I asked the question, really.
I think that's more of the problem. But actually, I mean, in some ways, the running and the weight loss haven't been that connected. I have lost quite a lot of weight in the last 6 months, but not really because of the running. I think they're just, they help, but...
Is it part of a mix, I'm wondering here, if you're sort of adding in your... You're taking the decision, obviously, by doing the couch to 5K, you're taking the decision that you want to be a little bit more healthy with your lifestyle. So does that then... follow that, you know, you turn away the bag of chips or whatever your weakness might be?
Yeah, partly. I mean, so I'd always done quite a lot of physical activity. I mean, cycling, my typical holiday would be going climbing in the mountains. I mean, sort of, you know, hiking, that sort of climbing. But I realised that I couldn't run at all. I'd hated it when I was at school. I'd never really got into it. You know, running for a train, yeah, all right, if you have to. The weight loss was actually came later on and was very much... Yeah, it was actually a comment my brother made at one point where he says, it's quite good to feel hungry sometimes. I thought, yeah, I don't really let myself just feel hungry occasionally. And so, actually, I had a very simple diet, which was sort of eating less and not snacking was actually the main thing. Mm. You know, having a bag of carrots at home. So if I really, late at night, felt, you know, really could do with something... You know,
yeah,
you
have to have a lot of carrots. It's interesting because I've been looking at my diet simply as a result of doing this show because you get up earlier, and you know my breakfast would normally be bowl of fruit, which I think is possibly quite good.
Yeah,
slice of toast and some cereal, maybe some porridge. Okay, mostly. But of course, it doesn't happen anymore. So it's trying to, particularly on the fruit side, is to snack on fruit by... Yeah. If I deposit, a bowl of raspberries or blueberries by my desk, they will gradually be consumed during the course of the morning. Equally, if I was to deposit a bag of crisps there, I would do the same thing. So the trick is, I think, to make sure it's the fruit, most of the time at least.
Yeah, absolutely. So that just changing to healthy snacks, and, you know, I have a chart at home that my girlfriend had actually printed out for her, you know, which things have how many calories. And it's quite amazing, just some things we think, you know, this thing has about as many calories as that. Oh, no. No, that one is just way more, and I like this one. So that's made quite a difference. Just, you know, not having heavy portions, not eating until I was utterly stuffed. I think the other thing for me that worked quite well, there are two things. One was weighing myself first thing every morning. So wake up, go to the loo, weigh myself before a shower. And then I had a little Excel spreadsheet where I kept track of it.
Wow. That's a very scientist's kind of approach to it.
It's partly that, but it also means that the first thing I do when I wake up is remember, oh yeah, okay. You know, I don't accidentally go down and overeat and go, oh, I knew I was trying to do something. But the other thing, quite importantly, I think, is trying to make sure that I do allow myself to have nice meals when I want to. So it's not one of these sort of, oh, no, I'm sorry, I mustn't have your nice meal because I'm trying to... And actually, that then leads to failure, and if you do lapse, you feel bad about it. Mm-hmm. So no, if I was at the beach, yeah, fish and chips, absolutely.
Yeah.
And just say that's part of it. And so I didn't find that too hard. The running was harder.
Yeah. Do you think, I'm just thinking about both within, you know, the college circuit and also within the Parliament in particular, They both feel like play, and I guess you could apply this to lots of things, really, if you think about it. But those two in particular do feel like places which are horrifically unhealthy, long hours. Opportunities. Oh, yes, tonight we've got a reception because the President of the Mfulu Republic is coming over. You really must join us. And it's quite easy. You know, they're, I don't know, the sausage rolls come around. I'm sure it's market sausage rolls in the Commons. But, yeah, that's still a temptation.
There is a lot, and it's very hard to plan. I remember when I was an MP, because I tended to work until very late every night. So I had a little flat there, and I'd often get in about 11 or 12 at night. Mm-hmm. So I was always eating out, and that's generally not good to do that too much. And if I was rarely getting to the flat before some ridiculous hour, I never had any food in the house because it would be the one time a month where I was there. And so takeaway, you know, it's not a good lifestyle. Here in Cambridge, you know, again, there's a lot about dinners. We're running a lot of events this week for the Festival of Ideas, so I'm out basically every night. So it can be hard, but you can just make it happen. You know, I mostly eat vegetarian now. Again, I'm not sort of completely no meat, you know, but unless meat is the point, I won't have it. I'm partly surprised. I remember, again, talking with my brother, and he said, why didn't you do this years ago? I thought, don't know.
It's an interesting one. I know all three of us here sort of cycle to a greater or lesser extent, but I was having a conversation with somebody from one of the gyms up in Nuffield, I don't know who it was, and I thought just getting on my bike was sufficient. His attitude was, no, you've got to cycle a bit faster to make yourself just that tiny bit out of breath to do some good.
Yeah, I mean, it helps. And actually, you know, I hate to think what I'd have been like if I didn't cycle.
Yeah, true. That's my worry. I think that might be my only real exercise. And I've seen that. It's like a podcast that you can download. Is it the NHS five Couch to 5K? And I also pick up on what you were saying earlier, because I am not a runner at all. Like, if I have to run for the bus, I'll think about it, you know. But so what? How do you think, oh, yeah, no, I can do this? I'm just concerned that if I do it, I'm just going to fail on day one.
So I decided, actually, on a walking holiday with my girlfriend, that it would be a good thing to do, downloaded it. If I'm honest, it took me a few months to actually get around to doing it. And I think because it does actually make it quite easy. So I didn't do it in the number of weeks it's supposed to be. There were definitely gaps. Mm-hmm. But it really does make it easy. So the first week, I can't quite remember exactly what it was, but it's something like getting you to run for 45 seconds and then walk for a bit, and then 45 seconds and then a walk. And I was like, okay, 45 seconds, I can do that. And so at the end of, I don't know, total was 25 minutes, but with a lot of walking, I think there was more walking than running the first time. I was like, yeah, all right. And with a very nice woman talking you through it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you're doing really well, you're halfway through, yeah, come on, you know, your personal trainer with you, and she's really encouraging, no matter what I did. And it's also nice that it does it by time rather than how fast you go. So if you, you know, if you're slightly jogging but not really going very fast, that's still great. If you sprint, you know, go for it. But and so it starts off, so week by week, you know, I remember when it was like, oh gosh, it's gonna be a minute and a half now. That's a long time. You know, looking ahead to future weeks, 8 minutes.
That's all the danger.
And like, I was genuinely surprised when I sort of got up to 20 minutes.
It's like turning to the back of the book, isn't it, to find what happened. And 20 minutes is quite frightening.
So it's really worth giving it a go. And actually, you know, as I say, I didn't do it, I think it's 9 weeks. I didn't do all 9 weeks in a row. And if you skip out, you just go back a week or do the same week again. And it's really, really flexible. So I stuck on a few places a few times because there were too many, you know, the weather wasn't nice or whatever.
Yeah.
But I'm really pleased I did it.
Yeah.
That's good. We'll talk some more in a little while's time. We will do some travel now. We've got some unsigned chart to update on as well. Dr. Julian Huppert is with us this morning talking couch, well, initially to 5K, but ultimately to 10K with the Town and Gown coming up on Sunday. It's 8:19.
Cambridge Breakfast with Julian Clover and Lucy Malazzo.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
So you join us back. We're in the studio with Julian Huppert. You're talking. We're talking about the Town and Gown 10K that you're running this weekend.
This weekend, yes.
Quite new to the running thing in general. And you started off by doing the Couch to 5K. That's the app, the NHS app. So yeah, tell us if you could. I mean, I know we touched on this a little bit before the news, but if you could just give us a little brief one on how the app works and.
So it's really, really easy to use. You download it, it's free, and then it gives you a series of podcasts, I guess, where it will talk you through, and there's a lovely woman who encourages you as you're going along. You can play your own music through it, so whatever your taste is, it's not, you know, you don't have to listen to her music or their music. And it gradually builds up from running for, you know, 40 seconds a minute with then walking gaps to the next thing, to gradually making them longer, less and less walking, until it finally gets you up to being able to run for 30 minutes.
Wow, that sounds really impressive, actually.
It does it really well. I was shocked that I was able to do it after, you know, a number of weeks. But it really worked well. And because it doesn't measure the distance, you can go at your own speed. So, you know, if you're worried you'll be a bit slow, doesn't matter, you're just doing it for the time. Yeah. So, no, it was really amazing. And it made a huge difference. Mm-hmm. It was just beautifully easy to use, actually.
Yeah. So, self-discipline, do you have to have quite a bit of that? Does it bleep away at you to remind you it's your time for a run? Or
no, it doesn't do those sort of things. I mean, it says you should try and do three a week, and they have three set out a week, but it doesn't try and control you in that sense.
Right.
So, you know, I didn't do three every week. I took gaps. I occasionally redid some. I could have been more self-disciplined. I think it's a 9-week program, and it probably took me several months to do it.
Yeah.
Maybe 6 months or something, but... But actually, in some ways, that's quite good, because one of the problems, if you, you know, depending on your life, you may just find that I literally can't do this. And then there's that risk that you stop and never start again because you missed a week.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, it was very relaxed. You have to have the self-discipline to, you know, actually go for a run sometimes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
otherwise, it doesn't work. But
yeah. And actually, Cambridge is pretty good for that kind of thing, because it is nice and flat and there are those big open spaces. Did you have a nice route? What kind of route did you take? Did you go across the greens?
So I live just near Cherry Hinton Hall. And so my route started off in the grounds there and went to along, and there's a sort of lovely little sort of hidden footpath, bike path by a little river that leads out to the end of Mill Road. And I'd sort of go along there and then go there and turn a bit right and go there and a bit further right. And then was thinking, I'm almost halfway around a loop. Like, you know, maybe I can try. You know. So I still remember when it went to, you know, go there and back to try and let's see if I can go all the way around through Cherry Hinton Village. And suddenly it's like, it was possible. And it was amazing to be able to feel that. And actually it was quite nice to feel, when I was going there and back, to see how much further I was going, because, you know, you do run faster than you walk. Mm-hmm. And so I started off not getting very far and could gradually say, oh, look, I never made it this far before. But Cambridge is flat, you know, and there's lots of areas along the river, across the commons, where you can find a route that's pretty easy.
Yeah.
Have you ever done anything like the Town and Gown 10K before? Or is this like a big...
No, I mean, I've never done a running thing before. You know, back when I was at school, we used to do occasional cross-country runs, and I never came last, let me put it that way, but I wasn't at the other end of the field either.
I was always on the B course, and suddenly I realised I was actually doing quite well on the B course, so I realised I had to slow down in case I was put onto the A course.
No, we didn't have that option, sadly. So I've done bike rides before. I've done the Tour of Cambridgeshire, you know, so I've done organised events. I've never done a running one at all. And 10K, I mean, I think I've twice done more than 5K, maybe three times. So it's definitely more than I am comfortable doing. But hopefully it'll be lots of fun. I mean, lots of people hopefully will come on Sunday.
I was speaking to the organisers yesterday, they tell me they're full up. They can't even take walk-ins now, which I should double check. I think something like 1,500 people will be taking part. And so quite a bit of money, I suspect, is going to be raised for muscular dystrophy on the day. And it's just
I really hope
tremendous.
So. But I hope people might, you know, come and watch if you've got nothing better to do Sunday morning and it's too late to come and run it. You know, it's a beautiful area. So it goes from Silver Street up to along Riverside, you know, by the colleges on both sides of the river. So there's lots of lovely places to sit, watch, get inspired, you know, do it next year, and I'll, you know, hopefully come and watch next time.
I'm really looking forward to it, actually.
Yeah.
I'm
There's a lot of runs that go on now in Cambridge, I was going to say. I think it's becoming one of the most favourite tracks for a lot of runners to come down for the weekend and take part because of all the beautiful...
Mm. It's a Sunday morning lock-in because with roads shut, you're not going to be going anywhere if you're not taking part. So it kind of makes sense
and
if you come along.
Some good compere doing some of the broadcasting for it, isn't it?
Apparently so. Okay. Apparently so. Yeah, I'm going to be there and my job, we're doing some interviews and also... have the task of sort of, I guess, marshalling people to the start points, and cute children then get to start the race. So that will be done, and we'll see how you do.
Yeah.
Have you got a Just Giving or something page
for the
donations?
Yes, I mean, if you're following on Twitter, I hope you can tweet it out. If not, then on Just Giving, it's Julian Huppert 10K. And I'd be really grateful. It's for muscular dystrophy. And, you know, there are, 70,000 people in the country with serious muscle wasting diseases. Mm. Wouldn't it be lovely if we could do something to address that, to help them? So please do sponsor me or you know, anyone else who's doing it or give money to muscular dystrophy. I sort of don't care. But,
yeah.
But certainly Just Giving Julian Huppert 10K would work.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you very much for coming in this morning, Julian. Before we let you go, we thought we might try the Where's Flossie on you. So Flossie has stopped at the pub for refreshments. One of the most common English pub names, the 17th century building, is in the South Cams village. That's home to an academic campus which owes its history to a discovery made in the Eagle in Cambridge. What pub in which village is Flossie visiting?
So I've been to the pub. And it's, I guess, possibly slightly cheating because I used to work on that academic campus and used to work on DNA, which is a discovery that was, well, was announced in the Eagle, I think.
I always like to say it was invented in there, but it's not strictly correct.
That's quite right.
But, so many different levels.
So the village is Hinxton, and the pub is really lovely, and I've been trying to remember what it's called because it's the pub I just went to in there. Is it the Red Lion?
It is the Red Lion, yes.
I was going to look very silly there.
Yeah. It was, now, a 17th century building's been in use as a public house since at least 1841. Hinxton is home to the Sanger Institute on the Wellcome Genome Campus, where the Human Genome Project sequenced the 3 billion letters that make up human genetic code, as proposed by Jim Watson, co-discoverer, people would argue that, of the double helix DNA structure with Francis Crick.
Rosalind Franklin and various others who...
Absolutely. who does get a mention, it's funny, by coincidence, even before we got the clue in, I was in the Eagle yesterday and just happened to be sitting in the notice board. Well, there's two bits. There's like the original plaque, which is put up on... This is on the inside, as opposed to the blue one on the inside, which I think had a bit of an incident recently, which mentions Watson and Crick. And then, of course, there's a separate one acknowledging the contribution that Rosalind Franklin made to all of that as well. Julian Huppert, Dr. Julian Huppert, thank you very much. See you on Sunday, I guess.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure to see both of you. It feels like the wrong time to have your voice, but I look forward to seeing you and hearing from you again.
Yeah, it feels like the wrong time for us too sometimes as well. It's 18 before 9. Susie Thorpe on Mid-Mornings this morning. Before that, Lucy is going to be taking charge once more of 105 today. So that's it from me, Julian Clover.
And from me for now, Lucy Milazzo.
Top of the morning. Good morning.
So we'll be back tomorrow at 7.
I'm looking forward to doing the Town and Gown 10K.
Julian, please, you're presenting the prizes.